Paris Press is a small nonprofit publishing house that reprints the neglected work of women writers, famous and not so famous. Their latest offering is an almost 40-year-old political allegory about the loss of civil liberties called Visa for Avalon. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
In these jittery times when questions of national security dominate the presidential race, Paris Press has decided the moment is right for a rediscovery of a political allegory called Visa for Avalon. The book was first published in 1965, and it was written by an English woman named Annie Winifred Ellerman, who adopted the pen name Breyer. By now, I thought that feminist critics had exhumed even the most minute mummified remains of any literary woman who'd been covered over by the sands of time. But Breyer's corpus and life story are worth bringing to light. In an essay appended to Visa for Avalon, Breyer's biographer, Susan McCabe, tells readers that in 1914 the young Breyer was captivated by the innovations of Imagist poetry, and so she sought out the Imagist poet Hilda Doolittle, or H.D. The two began a lifelong relationship, raising H.D.'s infant daughter in a two-mommy family. Along the way, Breyer also entered into two heterosexual marriages of convenience. With her first husband, she founded a publishing company in Paris that printed the work of out-there writers such as Gertrude Stein, James Joyce, Juno Barnes, Ernest Hemingway, and Marion Moore. She also helped Sylvia Beach to fund the legendary Shakespeare and Company bookshop in Paris. Poet Ezra Pound has been credited with being the intellectual benefactor of the modernist literary movement, but McCabe makes a pithy, convincing case for Breyer's central role. In the late 1930s, Breyer, who was then living in Switzerland, became active in politics. She sheltered and procured visas for over 100 German intellectuals, many of them Jews, fleeing the Nazis. One refugee whom she supported, but ultimately couldn't save, was the philosopher Walter Benjamin, who in despair committed suicide at the Franco-Spanish border when he was prevented from crossing. Throughout the adventures of her life, which also included forays into psychoanalysis and avant-garde filmmaking with Paul Robeson, Breyer kept writing. In addition to Visa for Avalon, she churned out historical novels, memoirs, poetry, and coming-of-age tales. All but the latter have been out of print for nearly 30 years. Visa for Avalon is a short allegory about the devastating cost of political apathy. To be frank, I think its appeal is more that of a literary curiosity than of a call to action. But one thing Breyer's tale has going for it, aesthetically speaking, is a keen sense of suspense. Allegory is the form writers reach for when they want to drum in a message. Consequently, many political allegories feel static. Orwell's Animal Farm and Huxley's Brave New World come to mind, as does Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, my personal nominee for the I Get It Already award in message literature. But Visa for Avalon is a bit of a nail-biter. It's set in a no-name country that looks a lot like England, where a totalitarian movement claiming to be working for the betterment of the common citizenry is about to sweep away individual rights. In her vivid descriptions of the green-jacketed movement sympathizers, Breyer seems indebted to 1950s anti-communist sci-fi movies as well as to her Imagist poetic origins. She describes one unthinking victim of the movement's championing of cheap, mass-produced goods as wearing a cap made of white linoleum with an edging of coral beads. Most of the citizens here have resolutely stuck their heads in the sand, but on the eve of a general strike, six thinly drawn characters, including a retired businessman, a secretary, and a simple farm woman, decide to make a frantic try for the last remaining exit visas for Avalon, a country rumored to be off the coast from which no traveler has ever returned. Overcoming roadblocks, mobs, sadistic bureaucrats, and forces of nature, her characters push forward to Avalon, where society perhaps is more enlightened, or not. The indeterminacy of Breyer's ending is one of the subtler aspects of this lively story. As someone who helped refugees escape Hitler, Breyer certainly knew that there's a time when it's wiser to flee into the unfamiliar than to stand and fight a known evil. But Visa for Avalon is certain about one thing. There's never a time to stop thinking, stop questioning. The alternative to informed skepticism is a brain covered with linoleum.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.